This morning, we're in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, where Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The summary of the Gospel of John is found in chapter 20, where John writes, "And many other signs did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, but these things are written unto you that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name." And so we're looking at the signs. This is sign number 13. There are seven signs in the form of pronouncements, and those are the I ams. There are seven signs in the form of personal encounters, like the woman at the well and Nicodemus. And then there are seven signs in the form of miracles, like changing the water to wine, healing the blind man. And we looked at healing the blind man last time, John chapter 9. And John 10 is a continuation of that encounter. He heals the blind man. There is a controversy. Who is he? And so I think when he tells them he is the good shepherd, he tells them that, number one, to encourage the blind man. They kicked him out. The Pharisees kicked him out of the synagogue because he said Jesus was a prophet and worshiped him as the Messiah. I think he does, "I am the good shepherd," because the Pharisees claimed to be the shepherds of Israel. They claimed an authority that they didn't have, self-assumed authority. They were unauthorized rulers. But I think he's rebuking the Pharisees for the way they treated the blind man. And then I think what he's giving us is a summary of his ministry. He was loving. He was saving. He is the good shepherd. So I think there are three reasons why he does this, "I am." But if you'll look at it with me, the first 18 verses are really organized in three sections. Verses 1 through 6 talk about what a shepherd does in the early morning. He leads the sheep out. Then verses 7 through 10 talk about what he does at noontime. He leads them by still waters. He leads them to good pastures, or he leads them back to the fold and protects them. And then the way this is organized, verses 11 through 18 talk about what he does at night. He returns the flock to the corral, and he protects them from wolves. Now, the word shepherd, everybody knew what shepherds were. It's interesting, the demographics of America have changed. 100 years ago, 90% of all people in America lived in the country, and 10% lived in the cities. Now, today, 10% live in the country, and 90% live in the cities. And so every day they would see shepherds. They had shepherds in their families. They knew what shepherds did. This is a very common idea to the people of Jesus' day, not so much to us. The verb to shepherd, ra'ab in Hebrew, appears 170 times in the Old Testament, and the noun ro'eh appears 62 times in the Old Testament. And Norman can pronounce Hebrew a lot better than I can. I just don't get the Hebrew pronouncements that well. But let me read you what George Lamsa said about the custom. "Every shepherd knows his sheep and calls them by their names. A good shepherd also knows the sheep of his neighbors. Sheep are named and bear the earmark of their owners. A shepherd, they'll cut a notch in the ear, a certain designed notch in each ear of the sheep that belong to them, instead of branding them like we used to do cattle and still do. A shepherd takes care of a large flock and must know the marks of all the owners whose sheep he is entrusted to his keeping. When a shepherd approaches the sheepfold, his own sheep promptly recognize his voice and bleat for him. He responds by calling the choice sheep by their names, and when he leads them to the pasture, his own sheep follow him, especially because he feeds them with salt. This parable was spoken against the Pharisees and others who did not belong to the fold of Jesus and who did not recognize Jesus' voice. He knew their mark, but they were not his, and so they did not follow him." It's very interesting, the historical background there. Now look at verses 1 through 6. The shepherd offers security. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. So the shepherd offers security. Now look at 7 through 13. The shepherd offers shelter. Boy, I read too much. Let me go down to 13. I am the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, the hired help, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Now, beginning in verse 14, the shepherd offers salvation. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep have I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, Hath he a devil and is mad? Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Now, the last section, 22 through 30, the shepherd offers solidarity. Jesus is one with the Father, and we are one with him. Look at verse 22. And there was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked to the temple in Solomon's porch, and there came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you received not, you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So there's four sections here. The shepherd offers security, the shepherd offers shelter, the shepherd offers salvation, and the shepherd offers solidarity. If you look at the contrast between the Pharisees and Jesus, the false hirelings and the real shepherd, the religious leaders were self-centered. He calls them thieves. He calls them hired hands. He is from God. He is the true shepherd. He calls the religious leaders strangers. They don't know the sheep. They don't care about the sheep. Jesus knows his sheep, and they recognize him. The religious leaders lead the sheep away from God. The good shepherd leads the sheep to God. The religious leaders flee when danger threatens. The good shepherd provides real safety and assurance. Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The religious leaders have no heart of compassion for the sheep. Jesus lays down his life for his sheep. Psalm 22, they pierced my hands and my feet. They cast lots for my garments. And the religious leaders will abandon the sheep in time of trouble, but the good shepherd Jesus will return for his sheep, Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So you have a whole story of the shepherd in Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 24. Okay. But I want to do three things this morning. I want to talk about the pictures of the shepherd, number one. Over 100 times the word roe appears in Hebrew, but King James doesn't always translate it that way. It's translated many different ways in the King James Bible, and I'll give you some examples, but it gives you different shades of meaning on the pictures of what a shepherd does. In Genesis 4:2, Cain and Abel. Cain had the vegetables and Abel had the flocks, and it says that Abel was a feeder or a keeper of the sheep. Doesn't say shepherd, but the word shepherd is used. Only there it's translated feeder and keeper. Proverbs 28:7, it's translated companion. Proverbs 28:7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion, a shepherd of riotous men, shameth his father. So the word shepherd there is translated in the King James Bible, companion. If any of you texts, not me, but if any of you, it would be BFF. All right. Who doesn't know what BFF stands for? Best friend forever. Eddie, okay. I don't either, thank you. All right. Actually, we went to visit a friend of mine, and he texted me twice in one day, and that's the most texts I've ever gotten in my life, okay? So he just kept texting me on my phone, and Eileen had to, like, read it for me. It's like being blind or something, you know, but that's okay. Now, Jeremiah 17:16. Shepherd is translated pastor. Now, pastor is the Latin word for sheep, shepherd. But pastor is the transliteration in English of the Latin word for shepherd, which is pastor. We talk about pastorals, those sheep music. Not sheet music, sheep music. All right. Jeremiah 17:16. But as for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor, a shepherd, to follow you. Neither have I desired the woeful day, for thou knowest that which came out of my lips, which was right before you, O God. John 17:12, the shepherd keeps the sheep. Okay? Genesis 13:7, you have strife between the herdsman of Lot and the herdsman of Abraham. And it says there was strife between the herdsmen. That's the word shepherd. But it's called a herdsman. What does God do? He herds his sheep. Although, you know, leading a church is kind of like herding cats. Okay? I think sheep are a lot like cats. And then shepherd is translated shepherd in Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Thou shalt not want. So we lose a lot of the meaning of shepherd. We don't know when we don't realize that the word shepherd appears over 160 times in the Old Testament, but it's translated a lot of different ways. That's the pictures of the shepherd. Now, what's the purpose of the shepherd? Well, first of all, the shepherd owns the sheep. He cuts his notch in their ear, as we saw. 1 Corinthians 6 says, "Know you not that you were bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit." Romans 14:8, "And live in him we live and move and have our being. We are bought and paid for by Jesus." He owns us. He feeds us. The shepherd feeds his sheep. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "Desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby." He keeps his sheep. "No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand." It's interesting that Baptists, Presbyterians, and Plymouth Brethren are the only three major denominations that believe that once you're a child of God, you can never be unchilded. Paul uses the word adoption in the Bible, and he was inspired by God to do that. If you study Roman adoption laws, if you have a natural child, they could be disowned. You can write them out of their inheritance. You can even put them to death. There was a Roman consul that told his son, the general, not to attack the enemy. Well, his son saw an advantage and attacked the enemy, won a great victory, and when he came back, his father killed him because he disobeyed him. A Roman citizen could kill their own children, disown their own children. But if a Roman citizen adopted a child, they could never be disowned. They could never be kicked out of the family. And because of that, I really believe that's why the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to talk about us being adopted into the family of God, because the Roman Empire would understand that adoption meant that you could never be kicked out of the family you were adopted into. And so I really believe the Bible teaches that once we belong to God, that we will never lose what God has given us. You know, if we could lose eternal life, then what did God give us? Temporary eternal life. Eternal means it doesn't have an end. And so you and I believe that. Now, does that mean we can act any way we want to? No, but we do have eternal life. The Bible says that the shepherd will also seek his sheep. Luke chapter 15 has three parables: the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, and the parable of the lost son. We call it the prodigal son parable. But the one about the lost sheep, there were 99 in the sheepfold, and there's this song with 10,000 verses that goes on and on about the 99 were saved but in the fold, but the shepherd goes out and seeks. It's a beautiful song, but it just seems like it takes forever to sing it. But the 99, that there was one sheep lost, and the shepherd left the 99 and went out and searched for the lost sheep until he found him. And that's the story of you and me, because Jesus searched for us and kept after us until we turned and saw him and accepted him as our Lord and Savior. I love it when people would give testimonies. "Oh, I found Jesus at youth camp." What was he doing? Hiding behind a tree? Saying, "Woo, catch me if you can." No. God was seeking us a long time before we were seeking him. The Son of Man hath come to seek and to save that which is lost. He is the shepherd who seeks the lost sheep. Now, he protects. You remember David and Goliath. And David, Saul said, "You can't go out there and fight that giant." And he said, "Let me tell you something, king. A bear and a lion came and attacked my sheep, and I killed both of them. And who is this Philistine dog before the living God?" Shepherd protects his sheep, just as David protected his sheep as a teenage boy from a bear and a lion. By the way, Eileen had never seen a bear out in the woods, and we prayed that she would see a bear this week, and Eileen saw three bears. She saw more bears in one day than I've seen in the whole Smoky Mountains hiking, you know, for 20 years up there. But she saw three bears, and one bear was closer than I am to her. So anyway, now they were black bears. They weren't grizzly bears, okay? But a bear is a bear. Anyway. So that's right. So he protects the sheep. Now, what do you have to be protected from? Threats from the outside, robbers, wolves, thieves. But you have to be protected from the inside by false shepherds. We have a lot of people that don't have the backbone to take a stand against evil and stand up for what's right when they stand in the pulpit today. Okay? The Democratic governor of Iowa appointed a committee, and this committee is the Church Oversight Committee, and they're going to look at sermons that pastors preach from the pulpit, and if they say anything that might be considered anti-transgender, then they're going to bring charges against that pastor and against that church. That's the Democratic Party in Iowa. Okay? So it's not as bad as it's going to get, guys. There are false shepherds that won't take a stand. There are false shepherds that won't stand up for what's right. It's interesting, everywhere we went in Tennessee, they were patriotic. We have pastors in our association that won't wear a flag on their lapel, that won't say anything about what's right and what's wrong in America from their pulpit. It's sad that we have sunk that low. But the shepherd protects threats from the outside, wolves, thieves, robbers, but also protects from threats on the inside, the hired help who are false shepherds. We watched The Virginian last night on TV, okay? And there was a guy that he looked like a bank robber, so he killed the bank robber and started robbing banks and blaming it on the dead bank robber, thought he was getting away with it. That was his disguise, so he could get away with committing crimes and killing people. God doesn't put up with that. God doesn't put up with false shepherds. There's a lot of money in being a false shepherd. And there are a lot of guys on TV that make a lot of money being a false shepherd. But God protects us. And then the sixth thing, the purpose of the shepherd is to discipline the sheep. Psalm 23 talks about the rod and the staff. Now, the rod is a little short club. You beat off wolves with it, but you beat the sheep with it when they need a little discipline. You know, corporal punishment in school, you apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning. You know, my father used to say, this is going to hurt you, me more than it hurts you. And I would say, yeah, but not in the same place. Okay? We can't even touch them anymore. They can act any way they want to. But the shepherd would discipline the sheep. You know, this man was trying to make his mule pull the wagon, and the mule would just stand there, and he would do every command and every order and anything. And finally, this Quaker came up and said, you have to speak to him gently. And he said, what are you talking about? And he said, speak to him gently. So that didn't work. So the Quaker took a 2x4 and hit the mule right between the eyes with the board. And he said, well, I thought you were supposed to speak to him gently. He says, you are, but first you have to get his attention. Okay? God disciplines us. The staff was to reach down and put the crook around the sheep's neck and pull it back up from the hillside where it had fallen. But the rod was to discipline the sheep. Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord loves, he spanks. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And everyone that believeth in him. There's a poem that says, my shepherd is the Lamb, the living God who died. With all good things I ever am by him supplied. There was no other good except to pay the price for sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in, and he did. You got pictures of the shepherd, you got the purpose of the shepherd, and you've got the presence of the shepherd. He is the good shepherd, kalos. 26 times in the New Testament, it means the good or the worthy shepherd, someone worthy to follow. Isaiah 40:11 says, "He shall lead his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." Philippians 1:6, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day." A visitor went to a remote spot in Italy and met a hermit. Now, this hermit lived in a cave. Now, Vance Havner used to say, living in a hole doesn't make you holier. Okay. But he said, how can you live alone on the mountain, you know, at least a mile from anybody else? Man, that sounds good to me. Good fences make good neighbors, don't they? All right. But anyway, let's get back to the story. All right. How can you live so far away from everybody else? He says, I have the good shepherd as my next door neighbor. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. The pictures of the shepherd, the purpose of the shepherd, the presence of the shepherd. He knows his sheep intimately and he loves his sheep infinitely. Arthur J. Showalter, and he lived from 1858 to 1924. His wife died, and he had two friends whose wives had died, and they sent him letters, and both of those little notes had Deuteronomy 33:27 at the bottom of the note. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he was impressed that they would be the basis for a good song. And so he wrote the music, and he wrote the refrain to a song. Then he asked his good friend Elisha Hoffman if he would write the stanzas. And so he did. And that hymn is number 333. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Now, when the shepherd calls sheep, he expects a response. Jesus offers eternal life to people, but they have to respond to it. You have got to confess your sins and trust Jesus as your personal Savior and ask him to come into your heart. And if you do that, he will forgive your sins and give you eternal life. The shepherd calls his sheep to establish a relationship. We are his sheep. We're supposed to follow him. He leads us. He guides us. We hear his voice. And he is supposed to effect a revolution in us. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. We have a responsibility to introduce other people to the good shepherd. So the good shepherd, when he calls us, he expects a response, he establishes a relationship, and he effects a revolution in our heart in that we share with other people. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And he is the good shepherd, and he's out there wanting us to introduce other people to sheep. It's interesting. I had breakfast with Dan Wade at the Lake Alfred Diner about a year ago. And if I told you this, that's okay. I've forgotten. I told you, and you've forgotten what I told you. So Dan and I were sitting there, and the waitress came up to take our order. And she took our order, and then Dan stopped her. And he said, listen, you know, Wade and I are going to have prayer in a minute. And I was wondering if you had anything that you would like for us to pray for you about. And she said, yeah, and blah, 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 and gave us something to pray for. But Dan does that every time he goes to a restaurant, orders something. He will, you know, because he's going to ask the blessing anyway. So he asks the waiter or the waitress. Listen, I'm going to have prayer and bless the food, but is there anything that I can pray for you about? And we don't do that all the time, but the times we have done it, till we went to South Carolina, every time the waitress has said, yes, you can pray about this, thank you. Every person that's waited on us has appreciated us doing that. And then it opens up to, you know, what do you believe, where do you go to church or whatever. But every person that we've done that with, except this teenage girl in South Carolina, can we pray for you about anything? No, I'm fine. And she had a First Baptist Church t-shirt on, so I hope she was, okay? But the waiters and the waitresses have given us something to pray for them about. So it's just another way to put God in people's minds. The Bible says God is not in the thoughts of the wicked. So if there's a way we can put God in people's minds, God can work with them. It's planting a seed.